Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a condition that might seem small, but has a huge impact on your independence. Thumb arthritis.
That's right.
You might hear it called carpometacarpal arthritis or maybe basal joint arthritis.
It's a bit of a mouthful, yeah.
It is. But the effect on daily life can be profound. So our mission today is to break it all down for the learner, the mechanics, the diagnosis, and the treatments. Now, the information shared in this deep dive comes from the hand education section of the free peer-reviewed patient education website, orthoeducation.com. Please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have specific concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional. So why a whole deep dive on just the base of the thumb?
Well, because it's arguably the most essential joint in your hand.
Really? More than the knuckles?
I'd say so. It's the connection point that lets you do everything. Turning a key, opening a jar, even just gripping a pen.
That precise pinching motion.
Exactly. And when that joint wears out, your world can shrink. And it can shrink fast.
It absolutely does. So what exactly is happening with CMC arthritis? I mean, what's the core mechanical failure?
The failure point is right where the base of your thumb connects to the wrist, specifically to a bone called the trapezium. It's a special kind of joint, a saddle joint, and it's built for incredible movement.
And the problem is, I assume, what we typically think of with arthritis, the cushion breaking down.
That's the one. The core problem is that the smooth protective cartilage, you know, the stuff that lets the bones glide past each other, it just wears down over time.
It's like the tread on a tire.
Perfect analogy. It gets thin, it cracks, and eventually it just disappears.
And when that cushion is gone, what happens when you try to, say, open that jar?
Now the bones themselves start to rub directly against each other, bone on bone. And that friction is what causes the inflammation, the swelling, and that deep aching pain that people describe.
Now, the demographics in the source material really caught my eye. It's not an even split, is it?
No, not at all. It's a very distinct curve. While, you know, aging is the main driver, the research is clear that this condition is far more common in older adults, and specifically in women over the age of 40.
Why women? Is there a known reason for that specific focus?
That's the million-dollar question. The material suggests it's a mix of things. For one, mechanically, women tend to have slightly looser ligaments around their joints.
A bit more joint laxity, you mean?
Exactly. And that can put more stress on the cartilage over decades. Then you add in the hormonal shifts that happen around age 40 and beyond.
The loss of estrogen.
Right, which is thought to play a role in keeping cartilage healthy.
Yeah.
So this intersection of mechanics and biology that makes the joint so vulnerable.
That's a key insight. So beyond gender and age, what else puts you at risk?
A previous injury is a huge one.
Like a fracture from years ago.
A fracture, a bad sprain. Anything that damaged the joint earlier in life can definitely speed up the arthritis later on. And we also look at repetitive use.
You mean jobs or hobbies?
Precisely. Think of a jeweler or a tradesperson who's constantly making forceful pinching or gripping motions day in and day out.
It's that cumulative wear and tear.
It is. And of course, you have to include genetics. If it runs in your family, your risk is higher. And also other conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, which attacks joints system-wide.
So if you're listening and you're starting to feel that ache, what's the next step? How does a doctor confirm that this specific joint is the real problem?
Well, it always starts with a simple conversation, a good history.
When does it hurt? What makes it worse?
Exactly. Is it twisting motions, like with a doorknob? Is it heavy gripping? That tells us a lot.
And then when they get hands-on with the physical exam, what are they looking for?
They're feeling for really three key signs. First, just tenderness and swelling right over that joint at the base of the thumb.
Pretty straightforward.
Second, they perform a specific test. They'll compress and rotate the thumb joint, and they're listening and feeling for something called crepitus.
And crepitus is that grinding feeling.
That's exactly it. It's the literal sound and sensation of bone rubbing on bone. It's a huge clinical sign of advanced cartilage loss.
So after that, what else?
They'll run some functional tests, you know, ask you to do a pinch test or grip something, just to see how the pain is affecting your strength and function.
So the physical exam gives a really strong suspicion, but I imagine you need visual evidence to be 100% sure.
You do. Confirmation almost always involves a simple x-ray.
And what does that x-ray actually show them?
It shows the proof. You can literally see the loss of joint space.
So the space where the cartilage used to be is just gone.
It gets narrower and narrower. You can see the bones getting closer together.
Yeah.
And that loss of space is how they often stage the arthritis, usually on a scale from stage 1 to stage 4.
So stage 4 would be?
Complete loss of joint space, maybe even some changes to the bone itself. The x-ray doesn't just confirm the diagnosis, it really helps guide the treatment strategy.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So let's pivot to that treatment. If you get this diagnosis, is surgery inevitable?
Oh, not at all. That's the great news. For the vast majority of people, especially in the early to moderate stages, this can be managed very, very effectively without surgery.
So the first approach is conservative.
Always. The goal is to stabilize the joint and control the inflammation first.
What are those first-line treatments? Where do you start?
Protection is key. That means, you know, relative rest, avoiding the things that really cause it to flare up. And critically, using a brace or a splint.
What does the splint do?
It acts like an external support system. It stabilizes that specific joint to stop the grinding during daily activities, but it usually lets your fingertip move freely.
Got it. So you protect the joint, and then you attack the inflammation.
That's right. With over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, like ibuprofen, they do two things. They help with the pain, of course, but more importantly, they reduce that internal swelling.
And with the joint stabilized and the swelling down, I'm guessing physical therapy plays a role.
A vital role. The goal of the therapy isn't to push through pain. It's to improve movement and strengthen the muscles around the joint.
So stronger muscles can provide more support.
Exactly. They act as natural dynamic stabilizers, taking stress off the damaged joint itself.
Okay, but what if that combination, the rest, the brace, the ibuprofen, just isn't cutting it? What's the next step before you even start talking about an operation?
That's where corticosteroid injections come in.
So a cortisone shot.
Yep. It's a powerful anti-inflammatory medicine that's injected directly into that joint space. For many people, it provides significant temporary relief.
How temporary are we talking? Weeks? Months?
It varies a lot, but it could be weeks or even several months. It could be a really effective way to break that cycle of pain and inflammation, which then allows you to participate more effectively in your physical therapy. It's often the most important bridge between conservative care and surgery.
We have been talking about thumb arthritis, also known as carpometacarpal arthritis or basal joint arthritis, based on information from the hand education section of the free and peer-reviewed patient education website, OrthoEducation, at www.orthoeducation.com. So we've established that the non-surgical path works for many people, but what's the tipping point? When does the conversation have to shift towards surgery?
The trigger is always quality of life. Always. When non-surgical methods just aren't giving enough relief and the pain is getting in the way of fundamental daily tasks.
Not just hobbies, but basic things.
Right. Not just playing golf, but cooking a meal, buttoning a shirt, holding your phone. When it starts stealing your independence, that's when surgery becomes a necessary option.
Let's get into the mechanics of that, because the source material describes a procedure that sounds, well, it sounds pretty drastic.
It does on the surface. The most common procedure is called a trapeziectomy.
Okay, and what does that involve?
It involves completely removing the trapezium, that small wrist bone at the base of the thumb that's causing all the friction and pain.
Wait, you just take a bone out? Wouldn't that make the whole thumb unstable? Like it would just collapse into that empty space?
That is an excellent and critical question. And you're right, it would. If you just took the bone out, you'd have major weakness and instability.
So what keeps that from happening?
The procedure is almost always done with a support mechanism. Often it's called an LRTI, which stands for ligament reconstruction and tendon interposition.
Okay, that's another mouthful. Break that down for us.
So the surgeon takes a small piece of one of your own tendons from your wrist.
A spare one, I hope.
A spare one, yes.
Mm.
And they use it to fashion a new sling to support the base of the thumb where the bone used to be. Then they roll up the rest of that tendon and place it in the empty space.
To act as a cushion.
Exactly. It's a biological spacer. So you're eliminating the bone-on-bone grinding and replacing it with a stable, cushioned sling. It's a really clever biological fix.
It really is. Now, for the learner who's considering this, what does recovery look like? This isn't a quick fix, is it?
No, it requires a lot of patience. Immediately after surgery, your hand is in a cast or rigid splint for about 4 to 6 weeks.
To let everything heal in place.
Right. You have to let those reconstructed ligaments heal properly.
And once the cast comes off, I imagine that's when the real work begins.
Absolutely. That's the start of intensive hand therapy. And this is crucial for regaining your range of motion and rebuilding the strength you lost.
How long are we talking for therapy?
Several months. Usually 3 to 6 months of dedicated, consistent therapy.
So a big commitment. When can someone realistically expect to be getting back to normal?
Well, you'll see improvements pretty quickly, but the source material says full grip strength and maximum function can take anywhere from 6 to 12 months to fully achieve.
So let's talk about that long-term outlook. Once you're through all that, what can people expect for their hand health down the road?
You know, the perspective is overwhelmingly positive. Whether you manage it conservatively or you go through the surgery, most people get back to their regular activities with very little pain. The surgery is exceptionally good at its main goal, eliminating that grinding pain.
We should add that reality check. Arthritis is a chronic condition, right? The underlying issue doesn't just vanish.
That is a vital point. The disease is managed, not cured. So even after a successful surgery, flare-ups can happen. You still have to be mindful.
So what does that long-term proactive management look like? What are the tips for keeping everything in check?
It really comes down to consistency. First, you have to stick with the exercises your therapist gives you. They need to become part of your routine. Second is protecting the thumb from overuse.
Being smarter about how you use your hands.
Exactly. Using adaptive tools like a good jar opener. Being mindful of how you grip things. It's all about preventing future damage and reducing those flare-ups.
So it's about maintaining that full engagement with life that you work so hard to get back.
It is. And that actually leads to a final thought for you, the listener, to consider. We spend so much time thinking about big movements, walking, bending, lifting. We take the small ones for granted. So just reflect for a moment on how completely dependent our daily independence is on the ability to perform a complex, stable pinch. Understanding and treating conditions like this isn't just about a single joint. It's fundamentally about preserving your autonomy, one small, crucial movement at a time.
A truly profound reminder of the hidden engineering in our own bodies. We have just discussed thumb arthritis based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com. Please remember, this podcast is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.